Broncos country stretches far and wide. Seems like no matter where the team plays, there's always thousands of orange and blue faithful.
Go Broncos!
On Saturday night, the Broncos held a meet and greet at the Barnyard Kitchen and Tap in San Diego. More than 300 fans came out, met with Miles the mascot, cheerleaders, won some pretty sweet memorabilia, and some lucky fans even won tickets to the game.
Oh, it's really cool. Me and my family are originally from Denver, and my girls are raising them to be huge Broncos fans, so it's great being here and being around a lot of Broncos fans. We were walking down the street, and we just felt like we were back home in Denver, so it was fantastic.
That's a great event. I think that it's awesome that they came out to San Diego and hosted an event, because there's a lot of Bronco fans here, and you know we don't have anywhere to celebrate, so I think it's great that they had somewhere to go.
Oh, I'm so excited. We came all the way down from Spokane, Washington, just this morning, so we've been up since 3:30. We're excited for tomorrow's game, absolutely.
It's the perfect place to come to break from the winter.
We had no idea this was here, so we're so happy
right
now.
We ran into this, and we saw the Broncos flag up front, and it's like, what a party.
I saw it on Facebook yesterday, and I said, oh, my goodness, we have to go. We had to move my sister today, and I told her we're getting up early because we're going to make it down in time.
And no matter where you live, you can always check out exclusive Broncos content and more at the new OrangeHerd.com. Welcome back to the BTV Live pregame show. Now we're pleased to be joined by News Radio 850. News Radio, I keep messing that up.
News Radio 850 AM and 94.1 FM. It's a mouthful.
But we're pleased to be joined by Andy Lindahl. And now we want to go to the Broncos inactives, which we've just gotten. We have Peyton Manning, we knew that. TJ Ward, Sylvester Williams, DeMarcus Ware, we knew all of those guys. Christian Ponder, Sam Brenner, and Jordan Norwood on that list. So that means that no Luis Vasquez. What kind of impact do you think he'll make today?
Well, let's hope he can have an impact. Frankly, I thought Max Garcia played really well last week in relief of Vasquez, but we'll have to wait and see. I think Vasquez is really beat up. I'm not sure it's just a one-injury thing. I think he's fought some things off all year. I think we'll probably find out after the season what a warrior he's really been. I think probably Evan Mathis falls in that category a little bit as well. So hopefully he can go. Hopefully he's effective. But I think we're going to just have to be ready to see a lot of Max Garcia, maybe on both sides of the line today.
Yeah, most definitely. And then on the defensive side of the ball, Matt, going to be without a couple of Pro Bowlers on that list. You're talking about DeMarcus Ware, Sylvester Williams, TJ Ward. How much is the depth going to be key for the Broncos?
Well, you said it. It looks more like a Pro Bowl ballot than it does an injury report. It's really a list of big names on the defensive side of the ball. One thing I think the Broncos have relied upon all year, though, is their depth. You think about Shaq Barrett, how he was able to fill in. Vance Walker comes in with a sack last week. David Bruton filled in admirably last week as well for TJ Ward. So I think they have enough depth on the defensive side of the ball to really carry them through these injuries until those guys are able to get back healthy.
Yeah, definitely. Well, so we know the Broncos inactives. Now, there was a game played here at Qualcomm Stadium just last night, the Mountain West Championship. What do you think about the field conditions here?
I mean, it looks all right from above, but sometimes that can be deceiving. They can use paint. You had an Air Force team that loves to run the football. We'll see how it goes. It appears to be okay, but you can kind of see some chunks of turf coming up already now as the guys start to warm up. So we'll see how that affects things. Broncos want balance, so you don't want any guys slipping. You don't want any of those guards. You're using the pull and trap pitch play last week, that crackback pitch that worked so effectively. You don't want a Ryan Harris slipping on some grass on his way out to get a DB like he did as he set up the lane for C.J. Anderson on that game-winning touchdown. So hopefully it holds up. It is at least dry right now. There's not been a lot of moisture, so that shouldn't add chunks of grass coming up, and we'll just see how it plays.
I was going to ask you, how important is the field conditions, especially for a fast defense like some of those middle linebackers the Broncos have?
Well, it's definitely very fast, and with this beat-up Charger offensive line, you know the Broncos want to get after Phillip Rivers with that pass rush. He's had some really good games. Go back to Green Bay, where I believe he threw for 500 yards. He's had some nice games this year. He tends to be a pain in the Broncos behind, especially here in San Diego. But the thing about it is that if you can get after him with that beat-up offensive line, they can force some interceptions. They can force some bad decisions. You know they want to do that. We'll just see if the turf holds up so they can get off as quickly as they want.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Andy. And one Broncos player who was at that Mountain West Championship game was running back Ronnie Hillman, who went to San Diego State. We checked in with him at the Broncos Hotel. What's it like for you to come back and play in San Diego?
It's cool, you know, just to come back to a familiar area and, you know, just to compete out here.
It's going to be tough in meetings tonight because San Diego State does play tonight?
No, you know, we're not meetings that long, so, you know, we go in there for about an hour, then I get to watch the game.
Cool. And then the running game for the Broncos the past two games has really exploded onto the scene. What's changed for you guys back there?
I'll just say, you know, we're starting to get it and offensive line are blocking, and the way it's working out right now is that we're running the ball well, and, you know, I don't know if that's because Brock under center or is because he's not out of shotgun. So, you know, I mean, offensive line doing a great job and everybody else getting on their man, so that could be it.
Now, I got to ask you about this. I know you're probably sick of answering it, but you're on the injury report with a tooth, something you don't really see normally. What's going on with the tooth?
I'm just fine. You know, I missed a day or two, and, you know, I'm playing a game.
Not really a big deal then?
No, not a big deal at all.
Well, Broncos will certainly need Ronnie Hillman in that running game this weekend as the play action and a lot of the offense has worked with because of this running game. And one guy who is looking to bounce back this week is Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah, a very un-DT-like game for him last week with just one reception, albeit a big one, but three drops and one catch on 13 targets. That's really that was a tough night for him. And, you know, he's had an up-and-down season, but I think there's a lot going on with Demaryius Thomas this year. Of course, he had the neck problem back in October. I think that affected him, and we know all about everything with his mom being released from prison and all the changes that are going on. He can't wait to have her in Denver at some point. But, you know, that's, I think, weighing on his mind a little bit as well. So, you know, I think Demaryius Thomas, it was frustrating for him last week, but I think he's been very focused this week. Don't think you'll see another game like he had last Sunday.
Yeah, I wouldn't count on it. In fact, I would expect the Broncos to get DT involved early and often.
I expect him to come back this week and make those plays, but, you know, that's part of it. You struggle sometimes, and your teammates got to pick up the slack for you, and his did, and that's what being a team's all about. Got a lot of confidence in him and looking forward to him bouncing back this week.
Concentrate more, putting in a little extra work and, you know, having my team behind me.
DT works so hard in practice and he's, you know, just a couple things didn't work his way, but I got no problem with him.
That's part of ball. I mean, that's part of, and that's why he's a great player, because he wants his team to lean on him, you know. And, you know, I'm just very impressed with how he's come back and work, and I got a lot of confidence in him and can't wait to get the ball in his hands this weekend.
Okay, let's talk about the other side of the ball now, Matt. Phillip Rivers, we know what he's capable of. He's had 7 300-yard passing games a season, but the Broncos come in with a top-ranked pass defense. They haven't given up a 300-yard passer. How do you see this matchup playing out today?
It's going to be tough. You think about Phillip Rivers' last game, 300 yards passing last week against Jacksonville, 4 touchdowns. He has had 5 sacks, though, in his past 2 games. Andy mentioned it earlier in the last block. The pass rush is going to be key. I think the Broncos need to get off to a quick start, getting guys like Von Miller, Shaq Barrett, Derek Wolfe. All those guys need to head to the quarterback and make life tough for Rivers. But then you also think about the cornerbacks, Aqib Talib and Chris Harris. Those guys, as you said, have been superb all year. They're going to have their hands full today with Stevie Johnson and Malcolm Floyd. I think that they're going to be able to shut down the pass, and I think that pass rush is going to be the difference eventually when it comes to Rivers and his vaunted passing attack.
Well, you mentioned the Rivers' last game. That was a win against Jacksonville, the Chargers' first win in 7 games. But despite their record, Phillip Rivers is quietly having a typical Phillip Rivers season.
You know, he's one of those quarterbacks that I talked about. He can beat you throwing the ball, you know. I mean, he had one game where he had 500 yards passing and no interceptions. I mean, that's incredible, so. And I know Phillip pretty well. I was there with him. We drafted him when I was there. He's a great competitor, great person, but he's also a great competitor.
When you play these guys, you got to look at the film, and they still got guys are capable of beating you, so you got to be ready to play.
You know, they got Phillip Rivers, so they got a pretty good San Diego team up there. It's always tough. You know, when we go to San Diego and play, every game that we've played there has been close. So I don't expect it to be any different this weekend.
Well, Phillip's going to run his offense, man. He's going to make his progressions, and he's going to throw it to whoever open, you know. So if it's wide receivers who he feels is open, that's who he's going to throw it to. If it's tight ends, if it's running backs, that's who he'll throw the ball to.
Well, I've always respected him. I had Phillip at the Pro Bowl a few years ago. I mean, And he can beat you single-handedly. You know, he's been throwing for somewhere between 300 and 500 yards a game here for the course of this season. So he's been slinging it around, and they throw it a bunch, and I'm sure this week won't be any different. So a big challenge for our defense, a lot like last week, a guy that's not going to hold the ball. The ball's going to get gone and very capable of, doing some damage.
As we get a little bit closer to kickoff, Qualcomm Stadium starting to fill up, but a lot of orange and blue in the stadium, and that means that we've reached that point in the show where it's time for Mace's three keys to the game.
And let's start with number one, get off to a fast start, as Matt Boyer mentioned just a couple of minutes ago. The Chargers have had some trouble when they've gone against good teams, and they've started slowly. Oakland, Cincinnati, Kansas City, all among the teams that put the Chargers in a hole early. They rallied late. They did that against Green Bay as well back at Lambeau Field in October. They weren't able to catch up, so the Broncos want to get out to a fast start, get that lead, and force the Chargers to play from behind and be even more one-dimensional than they normally are. Number two, pressure, Phillip Rivers. Now, that may not necessarily result in sacks because Rivers is so good at stepping up, eluding the rush, getting away. But if you can get some pressure on him, force a throw that's just a little bit errant, that's where you rely on your guys in the secondary with tight coverage. You keep Talib Chris Harris Jr., Bradley Roby, to make some plays. That, you know, Rivers isn't afraid to get it out and throw it up and take some chances. And if you can get some pressure, you give the cornerbacks a chance to get some interceptions and turn the game. And number three, don't let the Chargers recharge, as it were. And I'm talking about their defense. When it's struggled, it's because it's gotten worn down, staying on the field and then not getting enough of a break from the Chargers' offense. So if the Broncos' defense does well today, forces the Chargers' offense into some three and outs, that defense is going to get tired. And then the improving Broncos' run game against the Chargers' run defense that's near the bottom at every rush defense metric in the league, that'll give the Denver a chance to really grind out and wear down the San Diego defense.
All right, thank you very much, Mace. Those are Mace's three keys to the game. Always a very animated section of the show. We appreciate it and appreciate the Hawaiian t-shirt.
Thank you. It's, hey, everything in life should be done with enthusiasm, right?
Exactly.
Let's do it.
Exactly. Okay, Matt, let's check in with you for your one final thought here.
I think we talked to Rich Gannon yesterday at the team hotel before the production meeting, and he said this game was going to be close no matter what the record. The Chargers might be last in the AFC West. However, the games are always close. You think back to last year, Peyton Manning, sick, injured, leading the Broncos to a comeback. You think about 2012, down 24 at half. They come back and win. 2011, Tim Tebow's magic carries the day. So I think that the game is going to be close, but as you mentioned, plenty of orange and blue in the stands. They're going to give their team a fighting chance here in San Diego.
Yeah, it's always a special game when the Broncos come to San Diego. Today, with a win, it would be their fourth consecutive 10-win season. And the Broncos' success in the AFC West has been really on point here. 25-5 versus the AFC West in the last 5 years. That's the highest winning percentage in the NFL in the division. So it should certainly be a good game. That's going to do it for us. For Andrew Mason and for Matt Boyer, I'm Phil Milani. Enjoy the game.
You know, this team we're playing, very capable. I've been in every game they've played.
Anytime we play a division game, we approach it like a championship game.
He's done a heck of a job here these last couple weeks.
Osweiler floats one, back of the end zone. Caldwell, touchdown, Denver!
And that snowstorm and wind and all the elements, not to mention the New England Patriots on the other side, leading him to a win. That was big for him.
Rivers has the ball, back, looking, near side, caught! It's Gates! Touchdown, San Diego!
Got one of the top quarterbacks in football, got to go play on the road, so all those things just keep you focused.
San Diego team up there is always tough. When we go to San Diego to play, every game that we played there has been close.
Hit by Von Miller and sacked.
It's just a good defense. There aren't a lot of things they give you easy, and you've seen what they've done to some of the top teams in the league.
The Broncos in overtime have beaten the Patriots 30-24.
You know, we haven't done anything. I mean, we've won some games, had a big win last week, but we got a long way to go. We need to stay focused on what we're doing.